Well, I'll now invite you to open our Bibles to the first epistle of John. As I'll have the privilege this morning to preach from the first four verses of this beautiful letter. A letter that overflows with truth and with love. So, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And incline our ears. Heed the wisdom of the word of our Lord and King. 1 John 1, first four verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, thank thee for the inspired word read this morning. Thank thee for this short yet so rich passage that we are studying this morning from the first letter of John. Lord, we pray that this wisdom would illumine us this morning to understand these words. Bless us as we approach this passage and help us to avoid distractions of any kind. In Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Let me begin with a question. How do you convince someone to buy something? How do you prove that someone needs a product? Well, if you work with sales, which some of you do, you're very familiar with these questions. And in fact, that is your everyday duty, to show people around you that your product is that long-awaited solution for problems that they didn't even know they had. And this is so true about credit card salesmen. Those guys just want to catch you no matter what. The way they talk about the reward sounds just so convincing. They mention the discounts, cashback, travel miles. Oh, and all that with no annual fee. Well, sometimes all you can think is, that's just too good to be true. No, that can be. Well, a couple years ago, I was sharing a meal with two good friends of mine. Let's call them Jerry and Paul, just for practicality. The names are a little harder than that. And besides the name, some other details of the story may have been altered, but that's mostly due to my poor memory. So that's not necessarily intentional. I was sharing this meal with my friends. Let's call them Jerry and Paul. And at a certain point, Jerry asked our common friend the following question. Paul, have you considered getting a credit card? Well, Paul just said, no, I don't need a credit card. Then Jerry began listing the several reasons why he thought Paul would benefit from getting that credit card. So he said things like, come on, Paul, don't you want to build your credit score? No, Jerry, I'm not too concerned about that. So, Paul, what if you want to get a loan to buy a house in the future? Then Paul said, Jerry, just tell me something. What are you getting if I'm approved for this credit card? You know, Paul, there's this $50 bonus that I get for every approved referral. Jerry, say no more. I don't need a credit card. I'm not concerned about my credit score. I'm not applying for that. Well, okay, no feelings hurt. We just moved to a different subject, and that's how much as I witnessed of their discussion on credit cards. But about a week after that, I was at work talking to Paul, just the two of us, and that's the same Paul who had refused to get the credit card a week before. Then at a certain point, Paul asked me the following question. Hey, Lucas, have you considered getting a credit card? You see what just happened? Jerry had somehow convinced Paul. There was something about that conversation they had, or perhaps a further one, and something made Paul change his mind. He reconsidered and he realized that he somehow needed the benefits of that credit card. Oh, and Jerry, yeah, he got his $50 bonus. You know, this morning, John the Apostle has a great deal for you. And that's a deal which is infinitely better than any other. Infinitely better. Although he's not trying to sell you a product, he's actually giving something away to anyone who receives it. He's not trying to sell you a product. He's actually sharing a word with you so you may receive it. Okay, but why is this such a big deal? Why do you need to receive this word? Well, let's talk about the benefits. So you may realize your need. Perhaps there are problems that you didn't even know you had. So my desire for you this morning is that you receive the word and share the benefits. That you receive the word and share the benefits. And well, the first benefit that I'd like us to see this morning is the benefit of eternal life. So receive the word and share eternal life. But how does it work? Well, let's go back to the first verse of our passage. And I'll read it again for you. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. Well, if you're familiar with the New Testament, which I'm pretty sure a lot of people here are, you're aware of the similarity between the opening of this letter of John and the opening of the Gospel of John. John 1 verse 1 reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," and so forth. And yeah, in both cases, he's talking about Jesus, as we know. The Logos, the Word, the wisdom of God, God's creative power. Psalm 33, verse 6, which we just sang, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made." Well, but wait a minute. Does it mean that Jesus Christ was present in the creation? Jesus Christ? Yeah, most definitely. And in fact, the whole Trinity is involved in creating the world. As you see from the very beginning of the book of Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. You see, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are here working in perfect harmony, bringing our world to life. God the Son, the very Word of God, he is the means of creating all things from nothing. Oh, he was there also when humanity was created. If you go ahead, Genesis 1 verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. You see, he just said, let us. But who's God talking to here? Us who? Well, this is another beautiful picture of the Holy Trinity in common accord, exercising divine creativity. God is talking to himself. This is Father, Son, and Spirit participating in the creation, not only of the nature, but of humankind too. And because Christ is truly God, along with the Father and the Spirit, he has life in himself, and he has power to create from nothing. He was from the beginning, and without him, nothing was made. This is why John the Apostle can call him the Word of Life in the end of verse 1 of our passage. He's that very, let there be light, that word of power that made all things. True God of true God, the author of life. However, we know what happened shortly after creation. We know that our first father's disobedience brought death into this world. Romans 5:12, sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men, because all sinned. And you can see the effects of sin every day around you. You see how people just couldn't care less for each other. Your life, it's your problems. You see kids from the earliest age rebelling and lying to their parents. You see men forsaking their wives to follow after younger girls. You see how the West pretends we live in a world of perfect harmony while wars are blowing out every day in the Middle East. But even worse than that, you see that you could be engaged in any of those crimes. If not for God, who's restraining your evil impulses each and every hour. No, I'm better than that. Yeah, that's what you may be thinking. But you can't fool even your own conscience. You may say, I never killed. But you have your own list of people that you wish were never born. You may say, I never committed adultery. Okay. But you actually like it when that lustful ad just pops up on your phone screen. Friends, if you're not sinning right now, it's only for God's grace. We're all worthy of the death we inherited from our first parents, Adam and Eve. And in fact, this is our natural state since birth. Psalm 51 verse 5, listen to the words of David, the king according to God's heart. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Do you think he said that out of false humility? He said that because he understood very well who he was before the holiness of God. And the same applies to me. And the same applies to you. In your original state, I mean, as you were born, your vitals may seem okay, but you're really dead inside. Well, you don't need to know much biology to understand that animals, and even humans, can make some movements that are not controlled by their brain. Reflexes, as we call them. Let me put it in more practical terms. Perhaps the children will understand a little better. Well, you may have seen at some point in your life a chicken running around even after having its head cut off. And, well, we all know that there's no hope for that bird. It's dead for all effects. Yet it runs desperately and out of control. This is just who we are apart from God. You may think you can run and save yourself, but really, you don't have much time left in this life. You need your head, Jesus Christ, or you'll be just as good as a helpless dead chicken running around. So maybe your problem is a little bigger than you thought. You may be in that very situation right now, aimlessly wandering around, out of your mind, thinking that you're saving your life, but your life is already gone. And these are just useless efforts of a headless chicken. But let's go ahead to verse 2 from our passage. 1 John 1, verse 2, "The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us." Friends, there is hope. Christ was made manifest to us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, of the same substance as God, he did humble himself and walked among sinners, and made himself to be sin. What do I mean by that? Well, Christ really suffered from all the effects of sin. Christ was doubted by his own family, rejected by his own people. He was betrayed by his own disciple, falsely accused by his own religion, condemned by his governor, tortured by the soldiers, mocked by the criminals, abandoned by the Father, and finally, killed for your sake. But we know how the story ends. You know it was not possible for him to be held by the pangs of death. You know that his soul was not abandoned in the grave. And you know that the Holy One could not see corruption. And you too, my friends, if you are in Christ this morning, you are no longer bound to the curse of the sin of Adam. Romans 6, verse 5, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." If through the word of the serpent, which is Satan, you were born as dead and could expect nothing but your final death, through the word of God, which is Christ, you were reborn unto resurrection and look forward to your eternal and abundant life. Jesus Christ gave you life in the creation. Jesus Christ gave up his life on the cross. And Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Word of life, gives you eternal life in his resurrection. So receive the Word and share eternal life. Now, note that there is an aspect of sharing involved. Receive the word and share eternal life. The eternal life that you receive does not belong to you alone. Actually, there are people from every corner of the earth sharing that same life with you right now. And this is why we are gathered here today. not only worshiping from home. And this is precisely the second benefit that we see in our passage this morning. Fellowship. Receive the word and share true fellowship. Let's look now at verse 3. 1 John 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's give a closer look at the second half of this verse. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, this is to say, true fellowship starts with being right with God. However, how is it that we can have fellowship with God? Well, many people out there will just tell you that if there was such a being as God, He would have nothing to do with humanity. But you know this can't be so. Look at the nature. Who set up the laws of nature? And most importantly, who keeps them in place? How do you know those laws will be there tomorrow? Look at humanity. Who gave us such a sense of justice? And more than that, why is it still in place? How come everyone knows it's wrong to kill? Well, look at yourself. Who put in you a conscience that longs for eternity, and not only so, but even makes you feel guilty for your mistakes? You know there's a supreme God, and we have everything to do with Him. And there can be no neutrality in relation to Him. And indeed, how awesome that the Lord of the whole universe is pleased to commune with us. Although in Adam, we were once alienated from God. Ephesians 2 verse 12, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But then the following couple of verses. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace. It's true, God couldn't stand us because of our sins. But Christ did make Himself sin for us and paid our penalty, so making us right with God. Now note that in order for Him to pay the penalty for man's sins, He had to be made man. That's quite simple. Man sinned. Man had to pay the penalty for it. So Christ assumed human nature along with His divine nature, that His sacrifice would not only be perfect, but also applicable. So through the act of righteousness of one man, all man could be justified. Hebrews 2, a few verses, a few selected verses from Hebrews 2. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise partook of the same things. Therefore He had to be made like His brothers in every respect, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because He Himself has suffered when tempted, He's able to help those who are being tempted. Well, what this passage is telling us about Christ is that he had to be one of us so he could act as this high priest for us. He could offer this sacrifice for our sins. Christ was a real human, and he suffered and was tempted just as you and me. He experienced it. He knows what it's like. Then if you go back to verse 1 in our passage, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands. Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not speaking of some kind of ghost wandering around or some fallen angel or anything foggy or ethereal. The apostle is talking here of an actual physical body. In fact, part of Christ's humiliation was that he had to live in a real human body like ours, even being God. When he fasted, he was really hungry. When he prayed late at night, he felt really sleepy. When he was in agony, he sweated real blood. When he was on the cross, his body suffered real death. St. John, who wrote this letter, was a part of the innermost circle among Christ's disciples. He knew what he was talking about. He heard the sermons. He saw the miracles. He even saw the transfiguration. He's John, the disciple that Christ loved. He who was during the Last Supper leaning on his chest. What a picture. What a friendship. What an affinity. What a reliance. Can you imagine being so close to your Savior that you can actually hear his heartbeat? Well, let me tell you something. You can be as close to Christ as the disciple that he loved. Do you remember what Christ prayed to the Father concerning you? In John 17, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. Yeah, united to Christ, you can even now confidently lean on his chest spiritually and truly. So trust him, rely on him, make him your closest friend. Do not trust in your own self, but lean on Christ's chest, for in him you have true fellowship. Now, you may have noticed that Christ also prayed for the unity of his followers. Oh no, you may be thinking, are you telling me that I have to attend church with all those hypocrites? Blah, 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 blah. Well, yeah. Yeah. Actually, it's not my own idea, but the truth is, if you say you love Christ, but you can't stand his bride, you can't stand his church, well, that's offensive. Christ shed his blood for his church, and so often you think things like, why would God have saved such and such a person? Do you understand how serious this is. Your brothers and sisters were considered worthy of Christ's blood upon them. And who are you and I to tell Christ whom to die for? So instead of telling Christ whom to save, learn from Christ whom and how to love. I know this is not easy. The love of Christ is sacrificial, and so is ours to be. But don't be discouraged. Instead, encourage and be encouraged by one another. If you're a member of this church, you once promised to work with others in the church and to support and encourage them in their service to the Lord. These are membership vows. It's there. You may have not seen it, but it's there. You promised it. Again, to work with others in the church and to support and encourage them in their service to the Lord. Well, let's be honest. This is not a burden, but a relief. How many people are out there, perhaps even you, looking desperately for at least one true friend, while you have so many here who can't wait to love you with the love of Christ? So do have fellowship with the saints. Have fellowship with us. For indeed, your fellowship is with God. Christ restored your fellowship with God so you could share true fellowship with us. So receive the word and share true fellowship. But now let's go back to verse 4 in our passage. 1 John 1 verse 4. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Receive the word and share complete joy. But what is this joy that he's talking about? Let's look at St. John's life. He saw his master contradicted and blasphemed. He saw whole towns reject the Messiah. He saw the Christ betrayed. He saw him being bound and beaten. A lot of people ran away after seeing that. He was an eyewitness to the crucifixion. Not only that, he heard Jesus speak directly to him from the cross, telling him to take care of Mary as his own mother, right before his death. As an apostle, he suffered fierce persecution in Jerusalem with his fellows. John was there when his very brother, James, became the first apostle to be martyred. His elder brother. He was around. And so he saw one by one being persecuted and killed in the most terrible ways until he was the only apostle left. Finally, when he was already well advanced in age, he was taken away from his loved ones and exiled as a prisoner in the Isle of Patmos. And we are not sure how long he stayed there. Well, I'm sure your future plans tend to sound much more successful than this. Who desired to suffer that much? John the Apostle didn't die early in an extraordinary way as a martyr. Instead, he lived this long-term martyrdom, a heavy life. Still, this is the man writing this letter. So your joy may be complete. Now, if Christ's sacrifice was something mythical or made up, do you think those men would risk their freedom and even their lives in this manner? Men like John and the apostles and people from the early church? If Christ's sacrifice wasn't real, how insane would John and the apostles and the multitude of church martyrs be? And if he had not resurrected truly and historically, what do these men's sacrifices have profited them? What would have been their hope? Verse 2 from our passage reads, "The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life." Again, life was made manifest. Christ was not hiding in a place, but rather walking among the people, going where people were. He performed several miracles in front of everybody, so anyone could see and attest that Christ did wonders, not tricks. Life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it. Again, John knew what he was talking about. He was an eyewitness. He testifies of what he witnessed. He's using this kind of legal language here. So we understand he has a real point to prove. In a similar manner, Paul defends Christ's resurrection by saying this to the Corinthians. "He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep." What he's saying here, he's not trying to impress you with a number. What he's saying is, if anyone still doubts, just go ask around. Go talk to the witnesses. They've seen it. Brothers and sisters, the apostles and the early church believed in the veracity of the death and resurrection of Christ. And so are we to do. Why? Because his resurrection is our final source of joy. If you want to understand St. John's complete joy, if you want to know how the apostles could be so glad to suffer for the sake of Christ, if you want to be able to endure terrible things and still remain faithful as the early church martyrs were, set your eyes upon eternity. Set your eyes upon resurrection. Because if you rely on anything earthly, it's but vanity. There is nothing that satisfies as eternity with Christ. Revelation 21, verses 4 and 5, you know well what I'm going to quote here. "He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." He does make all things new. And in fact, if you are in Christ this morning, you already have a new heart. If you have received the Word of God, you already share in this joy, in this blessedness. Yeah, it will be fuller in eternity. But you can start enjoying his presence with you even now on earth. Psalm 27, verse 13. "I had fainted unless I had believed that I would look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Or perhaps more literally, it would be something like, "Oh, had I not believed that I would look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." So yeah, part of your comfort is in the fact that he's in control even now. and that he is with you always to the end of the age. So don't think that this life is only about thorns and thistles, because not even sin, not even death, is capable of stopping our Lord from blessing us with rain from heaven and fruitful seasons and from filling our hearts with food and gladness. It is true that you are still in the flesh. You are still in the world. And you still have your daily struggles. You don't pray as you should. You don't worship as you should. You don't obey as you should. You don't even believe as you should. But you will. He who makes all things new will make you whole. And you will glorify him. And you will worship him. And you will please him. And you will enjoy him. And you will see him. And you will abide with him. So when you feel discouraged, look forward to your hope. When you feel pain, look forward to your resurrection. When you see injustice, look forward to the judgment. And when you face grief and sorrow, look forward to eternity with Christ. Look forward to your joy. Heidelberg Catechism, question 1. What is thy only comfort in life and death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Brothers and sisters, this is your only comfort. There is no money. There is no power. There is no knowledge. And there is no feeling that can give you such satisfaction. There's the Word, and the Word only. So receive the Word and share complete joy. Eternal life, true fellowship, complete joy, and countless other benefits. Well, let me talk you of a benefit that you'll never get from any bank. If life would be compared to a credit card, then Christ paid the bill once and for all. Yeah, the price is paid. The price of blood. The price of death. And you don't have to spend a single penny. And that's great, because you'd never be able to pay your bill. You could spend 1,000 lifetimes working. You'd never be able to pay this price. But he did it for you. Once in history, Christ paid the price for the sins of all history. And you are called to only believe. You were just called to trust him. If this morning you're already in Christ, rest assured in his death and resurrection. He paid it for you. It is finished. If you have received the word, share the benefits. Enjoy them. Also, apply yourself to them. You have received eternal life. So live. You're not bound anymore to the former passions of the old man. You may overcome your sins in the power of the Word of God. You have received true fellowship. So do not neglect your church family. Corporate worship is a balm for your soul. You have received complete joy. be fully satisfied in your Lord. Be always thankful, even through tribulation. Do not contend against your God. You have received the benefits, so apply yourself to them. How would one get the benefits without continually using the credit card? Now, if this offer is new to you, or if you're not sure if you're in Christ, or maybe you haven't considered those things yet, I ask that you please do. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, brings you from death unto eternal life. So repent and be released today from your sin once and for all, and from the pangs of death. The Word of God brings you from broken relationships unto true fellowship. So believe and be released from enmity with God. The Word of God brings you from mourning to complete joy. So trust and be released from that hopelessness. And have your tears wiped away. Receive the Word. Now, you may be thinking, doesn't it sound just too good to be true? Well, okay, you can put it that way. Although, this is the gospel message. Yeah, it does sound kind of too good to be true. But really, it's only good because Christ is true. It's only good because Christ is true God and true man in true history. So don't let this opportunity pass. If you still have questions, I'd be really glad to talk to you after the service. And I'm sure any other church member would be as well. Only don't let this opportunity pass. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. But you don't know how much time you have left. So receive the Word and share eternal life. Receive the Word and share true fellowship. Receive the Word and share complete joy. Please pray with me. Glorious Father in heaven, we praise Thee for this precious passage. We praise Thee for such great hope. Lord, as we receive this Word, let it stick to our minds so we can respond properly to it. Let Thy Spirit finish the work and apply this Word to our hearts. And if anyone here this morning knows not Thy Word yet, we pray for fertile grounds for Thy truth to bear fruit. Lord, please make this call effective in the hearts of Thy chosen ones present here this morning. And be pleased to save whosoever will call upon Thy name. Thus we pray in the name and power of Jesus Christ, our head and our King, forever. Amen.